Welcome to Revive. It's about that time. Welcome to Revive. It's about that time.
All I need is one mic.
You know what time it is. Open up your ears. You know what time it is. Open up your mind. It's about that time. It's your girl POC. Yes, 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 yes. You know what time it is. It's me, your girl, POC, host of Revive. We are coming live in the CBE studio today, man. I am hyped. This is my first time to be, you know, broadcasting live out of CBE with Tab Money. Tab Money going to be hitting the mic with me today as well. I got a jam-packed studio today. I got everyone in the building. The whole Revive team is alive this morning. Yes, yes. Wake up, wake up, wake up. We're on the airways 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. each and every Sunday. Make sure you guys stay tuned on timeforanawakening.com/revive. Once again, that's timeforanawakening.com/revive. Or you can go directly to TuneIn. You can download the TuneIn app or go to the website and just search Time for an Awakening. You hit Meet Your Girl POC live each and every Sunday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And I want to know what you guys are thinking out there. So you already know. Give me a call, 215-490-9832. Once again, that's 215-490-9832. Don't be shy. Don't be shy. We got a lot of people in the studio today, and I know you want to talk to each and everybody who's in here today. We got Tyler Avenia, man. It's her first time on Time for an Awakening today. Yes, Tyler's holding it down as always, and then she's going to be holding it down again tomorrow on DG. We working, man. We working. Yesterday was an amazing day, man. We went from the CBC to our all night. Everybody got crust in their eyes. Everybody yawning, man. We tired, but we still out here working 24 hours. As Tad would say, no naps, man. No naps. We ain't take no naps all weekend. So once again, we got a jam-packed studio. I got the homie Elijah. I got my little cousin Amelia in the studio with me, man. I'm really excited. And as always, I got Harmony the Goddess in the studio with me. Yo, Harmony, tell the people how you feeling. I see the crest right there. I see the little crest. We'll tell them how you feeling.
I'm a little tired, but I'm definitely blessed to be woken up this morning. But I just this whole weekend, it was very, very informative and educational. I learned a lot. And being in D.C. is just always fun. It's always a great time. So I'm feeling great, never better.
I'm with you on that one. Being home in the city was an amazing feeling, definitely. I didn't get to see my mom just yet, but it's definitely an amazing feeling being home in the city. I got to see a lot of friends, a lot of people that I went to high school with. They all showed up last night to the event, the vending machine. We pulled out the vending machine last night. But before I get started on the vending machine, because Tyler's in the building as well, I want to talk a little bit about the CBC, y'all. We went to our first conference, the Congressional Black Conference, 47th Annual Legislative Conference. I thought that was an amazing feeling, just walking around, you know, seeing all the black excellence, seeing just all the powerful people in general. You know what I mean? They look regular, but as soon as they shake your hand, you know they somebody. They got that firm grip. I got a lot of firm grips yesterday. Definitely, you know, for men and women, you know, everybody was showing up. The one judge from North Carolina, she made a huge impact because she was talking about the youth, and because she was a juvenile defense she's not a lawyer, she's a judge. She was a juvenile judge, yeah, down there in Charlotte, North Carolina. So I thought that was really, really cool. What was her name, Harmony?
Kimberly Best. Kimberly Best was the deputy judge of Charlotte, North Carolina.
Yeah, and she was talking, and she talked about some things. She's from Detroit, yeah, so she was making moves, right? So she was she was talking about some things that really resonated with me. And then she asked a question to someone who was on the panel. And one thing that they said was, because she was saying, what can we do in the school system, you know, to stop the extensive expulsions and the, you know, the suspensions, the long-term suspensions and things like that? What can we do in the school system to stop that? And one of the panelists said, honestly, you know, add more police and get psychiatrists into the school system. Them. And that really bothered me because I don't think that that's the way to go. Honestly, I know that, you know, public schools are free, so it's hard to pay someone, you know, on tax dollars, the amount of salary that they should be getting for the amount of work that they're getting. That I do understand. But I don't think that adding police officers and more psychiatrists into the school system is going to help them, because I feel like they don't have time to deal with the thousands of kids that come their way every time they, you know, they experience something new. You know, some kid might actually have ADHD and some kids kids really might just, you know, have a mental disorder that we may not know about. So for a school psychiatrist to diagnose them with that problem sometimes become a, you know, a long-term effect, a ripple effect, as they will call it, because, you know, when they get into their adult lives, now they're thinking that they still have this problem when they could have grown out of it, you know, in their youth, but they didn't have someone to take the amount of time to spend with them to get right, you know. So that was one thing that stood out with me when she went up there to speak. What about you?
Well, definitely that, but just also just the whole conference, and everybody wasn't just talking about the issues that were going on. It was also solutions. They gave solutions for a lot of things, even like just the first conference that we went to about the economic development, and they were given solutions regarding how to gain some wealth. And that's what we definitely need to talk more about, because everybody's struggling out here, but everybody wants to get the money, grinding or growing. So what stood out to me the most with the conference is that a lot of people was speaking about solutions. That's what I would say.
But that was the whole point of the conference. The conference was to talk about the problem, but as we're talking about the problem, to bring forth solutions. I'm glad we wasn't there sitting talking about problems the whole time. I'm like, yo, I'm ready to go. You know what I'm saying? We were supposed to be there talking about solutions, and we were talking solutions with a lot of different state reps, congressmen, congresswomen, just people in general, people travel from, you know, Florida to, from Texas to, you know, Atlanta, LA, LA, we won't get there just yet. But yeah, but Tyler, what was one thing that stood out with you from yesterday, because you were with us yesterday? So what was one thing that stood out from you?
Hello everybody, it's me, Tyler Evinia. So one thing that stood out for me with the conference, I did just like how everybody was educating first before giving solutions, because like the conference that we did go in about the conviction, we were a little late. That one did go over 3 hours, and luckily it did, because we were able to like come in and actually hear about it. But the fact that we did come in late, we still kind of got the gist of what they were talking about. So as they were giving solutions, they backtracked and still gave you an educational piece on why they were giving the solution. So that kind of stood out to me. But I do want to say, I do think the economic and the business development economic one was very strong, because we had one lady on there that was actually a millennial. So she was kind of giving us a perspective on a lot of different things, like how not to give up, but also how not to give up, but also how to keep going if you're not satisfied with what you're doing. So even though you're giving up, but maybe you're jumping from one platform to another platform, so you're not really losing focus on what you're actually doing. You're just doing it in a different realm, which we kind of talked about the other day on our show on Monday. And her name was Natalie Cofield, and she's actually the founder of Walker Legacy. But she's been a CEO of 4 different companies, and she actually left her job as a regular person to say she would never get another job unless she was a CEO. So that was something that kind of stood out to me. I really enjoyed that.
Definitely, man. And Natalie, she talked heavy. And once she got to talking, she was talking. I can't even explain it, because she was a talker, definitely. So being a talker and knowing the talker is like, yo, I need to be talking to her. Because she literally walked off her job and said, excuse me, am I about to be the CEO? They told her no, and she left. Like, just like that. And she's been the CEO of 4 different companies ever since that period of time in her life. So that is huge, you know, to sit in a panel, to know that someone has that amount of confidence to say, I'm not here to be the employee, I'm here to be the employer. And that's one thing that super, like, just super stood out to me. Even the photographer that was next to us was like, yo, you got that? Let me take a picture of your notes. Because what she was saying was huge. It was another woman on the panel as well who was talking facts as well. Her name was, I'm not going to pronounce her first name because I don't want to do that. But her last name was Thomas, and she did an amazing job. It was Miss Thomas. Yeah, she did an amazing job, because she spoke. She was like, yo, I'm about to speak. I need y'all to get a pen and paper out right now, because what I'm about to tell you is something that I'm not going to repeat. So if you're in this room and you really are here to, you know, be an entrepreneur, and you're really here to start your own business, and you're serious about your grind or your growth, whatever it may be, get a pen and paper out right now. And she was spitting straight facts. Like, I'm in it, y'all. Like, can you repeat that again, please? Because she was going so fast, because this was like organic. This was natural to her. She lived, she breathed, and she slept her passion. And one thing that she said as well was that when she first started out in her profession, they was like, it's going to come. Take your time. It's going to come. Take your time. And she looking at them like, yo, ma, I got to go find another job, because I'm not finna be making $22,000 a year. And her mom's like, no, stick it out. And that's exactly what she did. She was patient. That's something that I'm trying to learn in my career right now. But she was patient. Millennials in general, we're so microwavable. I swear, we just pushed 30 seconds and it was going pop. Right. But
Yeah, one thing that stood out is that she was like, she took her time, and now, boom, like, she's doing it. Like, she's running different companies. She's running the office. She's working with different legislators. She's doing so many different things to help her continuously grow and then, you know, just stay in the eye, the public eye, making noise and being able to speak to us young entrepreneurs who are trying to come onto the scene to do exactly what she did. So I thought that was huge. And then they also had a lady on there who talked about, her name was Julia. I can't think of her last name, but she was on there and she talked about just how the industry in general and how they make money off of hotel leisure management and how much, because she was in the city of Philadelphia, which was huge. We sat in a great panel because we were in there with Congressman Dwight Evans, who's the congressman of PA, and her name is Lisa Graham, right? Julia, I'm sorry, Graham. I don't know where I got Lisa from. Yes, Julia Graham. And she was awesome because she runs like all the venues that go throughout the city of Philadelphia. So like the night market, if you were here in D.C., she would have organized that. But for Philly, let me just think of something like they had the NFL draft there. They had the DNC there. Like they had Made of America there. Like all these venues, that the huge venues that bring in a lot of revenue for the city, she actually is in control of that. She is the leading person for that. And one thing that Congressman Evans said is that she's the first person to ever hold this position. So she is someone who is starting it, finishing it, creating it, mapping it out, you know, drawing the guidelines for whoever comes after her, hopefully is one of us in the studio. But what I'm just saying, like, yeah, which it was just a great way to connect with her. And everything that she said was just like, yo, it's money to be made. We just have to find out how to get your small businesses in that, you know, environment so you can make the money as well. Because she's looking for us to do it, but we have to do it ourselves. We have to be willing to write the grants. We have to be willing to put the legwork in. We have to be willing, you know, to go out there and invest in ourselves so we can get those big dollars. So that's one thing that Julia said that hit me too. And it was another lady on the panel. She spoke about it. And her name was Maya Cumberling. What's that? Cummings? Yes, Maya Cummings. And she was huge because she was on a couple different panels. She was late because she was on a panel. She had to leave because she was on another panel. So she was someone who just, you know, she's like, I got a nonprofit and I got a business and I'm doing both and I'm running them and I'm at the top on both of them. So if you want to network with me, hit me up. I'm on the go. I was like, yo, I need to meet her real quick, real fast, because she spoke. And when she spoke, you listen, because everything that she was saying was like, it's up to you. You create your own destiny. You manifest your own thoughts. So if this is something that you want to do, you have to put that work in. And that's exactly what I did. And I can show you better than I can tell you. And that's, you know, that was the delivery pretty much from her. Like, I can show you better than I can tell you. So yesterday was really, really informative. Yo, Harmony, what you was about to say? I see you got your notes out, man. I love you. You always got your notes out. What you was about to say?
No, I was going to say one of the panelists, she had told us about some books about the wealth. And I wanted to get the people hip to the books because they're some great books. I had looked them up. Mm-hmm, for the woman. So one of the books are Smart Woman Finish Rich by David Botch, and Road to Wealth by Suze Orman, and then also 17 Ways to Success by Napoleon Hill. So definitely check those out because those are some great books about wealth and helping you generate that as well.
No, I'm with you on that one. Definitely check those books out. We're gonna say it again towards the end of the show just in case you didn't catch that, but definitely check those books out. Thank you for that plug. I forgot that they did throw those books out. So that was huge. And then also, we were able to connect with Congressman Dwight Evans. I thought that was huge because, you know, we are in Philly and we need some money. You know what I'm saying? We need some grants. We need whatever we can get to keep Revive alive. And being able to connect with the congressman, meeting his chief of staff, you know, meeting his communications director, it was huge. It was big for me because I honestly met them on Monday because they came to Cheney. The Black Caucus of Pennsylvania came to Cheney to speak to Cheney University, which we all graduated from the first HBCU. Shout out to my, you know, my alma mater. Definitely, yes. So I was able to meet with him then, but I was in my 9-to-5 role, you know what I'm saying? So I couldn't really jump in there how I would want to, but I thought that was huge because he pretty much brought the same kind of conversation that he was speaking about at Cheney, like keeping Cheney alive, funding, making sure we know the budgets, making sure we're advocating. We have people there to advocate for us when the budgets are being cut and things of that nature. So that was huge to speak with him and just to meet his chief of staff too, because she got some heavy things going on. She was trying to downplay herself, like, nah, but Congressman Evan, I'm like, no, I'm talking to you. You doing some things right now. I want to talk to you. What are you doing? So I thought that was pretty huge. And he respected us. You know what I'm saying? He wanted to take a picture with us. The chief of staff was like, yo, let's get this selfie in real quick. So I thought that was really cool that they listened to us. They heard us. And they was just like, yo, I want to continue to stay network with you guys. So that was huge. It followed us. They even followed up with us as well on social media. So I thought that was amazing. And then also, the Black excellence was amazing, y'all. I just peeped Tyler's timeline. Did y'all see what Common was looking like last night? Oh, my God, right? That Phoenix dinner, man. We need to get that $750 dinner. I never seen a $750 dinner.
It looked like they was about to eat a
$750
dinner.
Yes, man. I never seen a $750 dinner. So we need to make sure next year we get a pass to that Phoenix dinner because everyone. You had Michael Eric Dyson who made the keynote address last night. I know that was huge. Like, I know for a fact that was huge. You had John Lewis. You had Maxine Waters. Congresswoman Maxine Waters. Congresswoman Maxine Waters in there. They was all just laid out. They put their Sunday best on. They like, I'm about to put it on for you. This ain't no BET Awards, baby. This is the Phoenix dinner. They definitely dressed to impress last night. Angela Rye even looked amazing, man. I'm kind of jealous she would comment. But other than that, they did look great, though. They did look good. They really, really did look good. A lot of people showed up. It was a lot of Black excellence in the building. And just to know that, you know, something like that can go on. No drama, no beef, you know, nothing. Like, nothing confrontational at all. What you about to say?
With all good comes bad. We did have an issue. there was one lady, I don't even remember her name, but during the question and answer session, she definitely took the room for a loop. And by it being a bunch of Black people on the panel and her being Black herself, it kind of took us for a loop. You want to talk about it?
No, go ahead.
Oh, all right, I'll talk about it. So there was a question and answer session, and she was from Los Angeles, and she was speaking about how there was more homeless people, Black people in California than there were successful people at the end of the day, to sum it up. But there was, she went on a rant to say how she supported DACA because she feels like in California, Hispanic people are free to sell anything that they want to sell, and I won't repeat her words, but she kind of was a little racist. She started speaking Spanish to kind of explain her story. And then she said, but when it came to Black people, you know, we could be out there selling incense or T-shirts and they would kind of like pull us over or stop everything at all costs and them being the cops. So at this point, we're like, okay, she's coming from a different perspective on DACA. We never heard this. So we're like, okay, we're agreeing with it. And then she just goes, if you don't know, I am a Trump supporter. And that just kind of like the whole room just stopped because even her vibe at that point stopped. Like, she was very calm and explaining her story. You could tell it was very personal to her. She had emotion with it. But when she said that, it was very defensive and argumentative of everything that she said from that point on. Even she was trying to get feedback from the panel and the guy, she wouldn't even let the guy speak. She was just like talking over him. And it was just very confrontational. The ladies in the audience was trying to say something. She like, uh-uh. I'm not trying to hear from you. I'm trying to hear from them. And she just went on and on. And POC couldn't contain herself. But, yeah, she went on and on.
Definitely. She got my blood boiling, man. As soon as she got on the mic, I'm like, yo, she strategic. Let me tell you guys this first, right? It was a line because you got to stand in line to get your question off, right? So she strategically waited in the back on purpose to ask her question last. Because my opinion, she was looking for the attention that she almost got. She definitely almost got it from me because I was ready. I was sitting at the edge of my seat with her, right? So pretty much she got on the mic and she had her phone in her hand. She was the only one that came up there with her phone in her hand. She was going, I'm guessing she was live on Facebook or something to make sure that everyone who, you know, was in her inner circle know that she's about to boss up real quick, right? So she gets in line and she's talking. First, she's like Tyler said, she was spitting facts, right? Which was cool. I'm like, I never thought about it like that, right? But I have no, when it comes to Black and brown, I'm Black and brown. You hear me? Like, I have no, that's what they want us to do. They want us to segregate. They want us to split it in the middle. Like, I'm Hispanic and I'm African American. It doesn't work that way. We all have the same struggles, right? But anyway, and at the end of the day, we're all going to be super air quotes, I'm going to say a minority, whatever that means too. But anyway, so she gets to talking and she says, only 7% of African Americans make up the entire population of California. And then, Hispanics and African Americans, they have so much beef and so much confrontation going on with Hispanics and African Americans in the city of Los Angeles. Then she broke it down to just Los Angeles, right? So I'm like, cause then we over here, like, what about the Bay Area? You know, what about South Central? Like, what are you talking about, lady? Right? So, so then, we get into it a little bit. She keeps going and she's like, well, I'm agreeing with you guys, but I just want to know how you feel, because I'm a black woman and I can't get any jobs because the Hispanic population is taking over all the jobs. So I'm with the whole DACA. Like, I'm with DACA. So that's when everybody turned up. Like, what do you mean? Like, what are you saying right now? And she honestly didn't know what she was saying because the whole room was about to come right at her, like right at her neck. But one thing, that the one of the panels mentioned is, like, you're talking about the what did he say? He was talking about just the central.
What you're trying to say. I think he said the geography of it, she wasn't really getting into details.
Exactly. So he was talking about, like, how can you break this down, this percentage down to one, you know, central location, one area? You got to look at the whole ramification of it all. And by her not doing that, she just looked more, I don't want to call her stupid, but she just looked more stupid by not doing her research. And she just jumped out there and everyone there was ready. Like, the men pulled their tie up and the women put their sleeves up. Like, we like, what's up? Like, what are you talking about right now? And then she goes on to say that I support DACA because she wants to get a job. She wants to be able to be employed. But what does DACA have to do with your employment? Honestly, if anything, you're not capable. You're not doing what you need to do to go get this job. And one thing that also stood out to me is that she worked for a place that, or she volunteered for an organization that put people back into homes, put African Americans back into homes who lost their home, who helps them with, you know, addictions and all this stuff. She started off so sincere, so innocent. We were like, oh, okay, ooh, you know, and then she just turned up on us. Like, she really wanted some attention and she really wanted somebody to give her some. And I really need her to take several seats next to Omarosa in the bad wig she had on. Like, I think the wig needs to... We are, my bad, but we're not gonna talk about people. You're right. Keep it positive. My bad. She wasn't positive, man. She was not positive. Yes. So I had to. Oh my gosh, I was so ready for that lady, man. But what we about to do is we gonna about to take a quick commercial break. Right up next, we gonna have Elijah and Amelia, also Tab Money, join us in the conversation. We want to talk about this Art All Night event that we've been up all night doing. Definitely. So I want you guys to stay in the loop. We'll be right back. You know what time it is? It's your girl POC.
I can solve difficult problems for a Fortune 500 company.
I can run a successful business.
I can manage your home improvements.
I can publicize your message.
I can motivate your audience.
I can put my military experience to work for your company.
I can teach your children.
I can boost your bottom line.
I can add value to your workplace.
I could be a loyal and productive employee.
but I can't put my skills to work for your organization.
If I'm not given the opportunity.
If you don't recognize my talents and ability.
If you don't hire me.
If you don't have an open mind and a workplace that's open to everyone.
If you don't realize that America works best when everybody works.
What can you do?
What can you do?
What can you do?
You can remember that it works.
It's what people can do.
It's what people can do that matters.
Nearly 50 million Americans have disabilities. Capitalize on their talents with employment practices that benefit everyone. Learn more at whatcanyoudocampaign.org.
You got a checkup.
Did you know black men are 2.6 times more likely to die from stomach cancer than white men?
Black men are 2.3 times more likely to die from prostate cancer.
Black men are 4 times more likely to die by suicide than black women.
Did you know that less than half of Americans with a mental disorder seek treatment? But the proportion of blacks who seek treatment is half that of whites.
We can do better. We have to do better.
Because we need you.
I need you.
To be healthy.
To be safe. To stay alive.
Visit your local doctor. Get a checkup. And if you're suffering from depression, please seek professional intervention.
We're counting on you.
Live.
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 Live. Welcome to Revive. It's about that time. Welcome to Revive. It's about that time.
All I need is one mic.
You know what time it is. Open up your ears. You know what time it is. Open up your mind. It's about that time. It's your girl POC. Hey. It's your girl POC.
Yes, yes, we are back live on timeforanawakening.com/revive. It's me, your girl, POC. Yo, I'm on these airways from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. today. I need you guys to give me a call, 215-490-9832. Once again, that's 215-490-9832. We got a jam-packed studio, you guys. You're going to hear a lot of opinions, a lot of perspectives. We coming to you live from the CBE studio with Miss CBE herself. We got your girl, Tab Money.
What it do? What it do? How y'all feeling out there?
Feeling better,
feeling good. Hey, you see me? I like calling Renaissance. I like 100% participation. But how y'all feeling out there? It's a great Sunday morning. I hope y'all tuning in. We had an awesome time last night at RR Night, Congress Heights. Arts and Culture Center held it down for all the arts, all the Southside creatives. We had Capitol Hill crab cakes in the building. Delicious. I heard them crab egg rolls was on point. We had DJs, silent disco. We had live kids performances by Callaloo. We had live band performance by Fun Show. It was awesome. We had Jonah Monet in the building with her Pray for Ye exhibits. We had Revive in the building, Russell Brand in the building, give away these hoodies, slinging these hoodies. Free up yourself. Greatness is a choice. No naps. Makes sense. Choose. Chosen. We had everything you ever needed. We had the chakras, the incense going down. So all around an awesome and family fun filled free event. The whole Congress Heights, Destinations Congress Heights, was jam packed with black beautiful people, all love, positive vibes. We had the go-go out there. We had everybody vending. We had great food. We had good music. I heard them Jersey people trying to move to D.C. based off them one art all night. Just wait till you see what we got for the rest of the year. We had the Young Bucks out there.
Definitely, we had the vending machine out there. We had Elijah and Amelia holding it down on the vending machine. One thing I want to say that you said, man, it was a lot of black excellence. When I say the culture was out, the culture was out. You could not catch not one person just, you know, I feel like they was just floating on the air. Like, yo, I love your outfit. I love your hair. I love your shoes. It was something on them that just stood out to you, from the necklace to the rings to the jewelry and the hair. I mean, it was amazing. The painters, when I tell you the painters and their visions, the messages that they were putting on display, you know, for everyone they see, you know, sometimes you even heard it. I feel like the paint was just jumping off sometimes, like, yo, what are you saying right now? You know, like the one, yo, they really took all the doors off the Ultra Culture Center, put them outside, and let the artists just go ham. When I tell you, every door in that building about to be off the chain with a message or a picture or a mural or something was amazing. So I see why, you know, Harmony, like, yo, I'm about to come down here. I need to get my chakras back in line real quick. So when I tell you, it was amazing. And yes, the vendors in general, like, it was so many different, you know, eyes. Like, it was so many different things that your eyes was everywhere. Like, you was moving. It was like, yo, I don't got 10 more dollars. No, I need, yo, somebody got $3 real quick. Like, I'm trying to get this ring. Like, it was so much going on that you couldn't sit down. Every time I sat down, Tyler was like, where you going? I'm like, looking for you, like, something, you know what I mean? Because I just got to be free. Like, I just got to move. It was amazing. And to know that it was a safe space, that's one thing you did not mention. It was a safe space for everyone, you know, from your child. Because we've seen some kids. I'm like, Tyler, it's about 1 o'clock. She was like, man, they living. Let them go. I'm like, all right. But we've seen all ages. It was any kind of ages was sitting out there. Generation was out there. You were able to vibe. They had a performance out there. Tyler had someone from her high school who had their band out there doing a dance. I was like, yo, I'm happy as I know why we made this to this performance. Like, it was amazing. They had, like, this water pool out there. People just feeling free, jumping in the water. I'm like, yo, did she just jump or did she fall? Like, what? She fell in the water. They had this water pool out there and everything. So it was amazing. It was a safe space just to know that Southeast D.C. can do exact same as going out Northwest D.C. It was the exact same.
Shout out to Kiana and Congress Heights Ultra Culture Center for holding it down for, I don't know, every single year for the safe, creative space for all millennials, for Generation X, Y, baby boomers, everybody. You see everybody in that space, in that building, just all interacting, all engaging, all love, no hate, straight positivity. And I just want to appreciate Kiana for having that space for Southeast, because, yeah, the numbers are getting slim.
Definitely. And one crazy part I do want to mention before I let everybody else get on the mic. Yo, when I say we can police ourselves, we can police ourselves. Like, we definitely policed ourselves. Like, that's what I'm telling you. When I tell you that Kiana had her front door open, the front door was open, and she just trusted her space. Like, people was walking in and out, in and out, in and out. I mean, all kind of ethnicities, backgrounds, religions. It didn't matter where you were. You just felt like, yo, the door is open. I'm about to walk right in. And when I say we can police ourselves, we can police ourselves. Definitely. Yo, Elijah, how you feeling, man? You was at the vending machine. How you feeling, Elijah?
Yo, 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 how you doing? It's your boy Elijah. Call me E-Puffy. Say what's up to my boy, Millie-O.
Hey, how y'all doing? It's Young Millie. We're just out here. We were at the vending machine all night. We were just keeping it down for everybody.
Yeah, it was cool. It was cool. Safe space, making money, selling what we could to put some money towards the bills. It was cool. It was cool.
How do you feel, Elijah? How do you feel, and Emilio? How do y'all feel about y'all first experiences as like stepping towards entrepreneurship, like learning to run your own business, making money, transactions, actually engaging with the people, using y'all selling points about what y'all knew about the product? Because y'all really got great feedback. Everyone says y'all were awesome salesmen, especially to be 13 years old. How do you feel about becoming entrepreneurs at 13?
I feel pretty cool because, like, I'm already like a people person. I already have like I have a couple of brothers and sisters, so it's not really that hard to talk to people, to you know, just get in the, how do I say, just, you know, vibe with people. Because when you're selling, you have to be cool with other people.
Yeah. It was cool. I really liked it. I enjoyed it. I could see myself as an entrepreneur in a couple of years from now. It was really cool.
Dope. I appreciate you guys. Definitely holding down the vending machine yesterday. Yo, when I tell you we got love, we got feedback, we got hugs and kisses, I'm like, go hug them, man. They doing the job. We just watching them. When I tell you we got so much great feedback from both Elijah and Emilio yesterday, like, yo, they working. I'm like, wait, I'm about to be 6 to 1, 2 a.m. right? I'm like, I'm about to go back to the table. They like, you don't gotta go back to the table. They holding it down. They good without you. I'm like, you sure? I'm like, they like, trust me, they good. Like, they moving them hats. I'm like, all right, they moving them hats. I come over there, Emilio pitching about the show. I'm like, oh, you know about the show? Yeah, tell them to tune in tomorrow. We going live, baby. So definitely, I was amazed. Thank you both, man. Thank you both. And another thing though, you guys had the pitch lines though. They had the pitch lines because it was like a hoodie that was like a large that was left, right? And it was a girl who was a small. Emilio like, nah, big is in. Everybody like the oversized hoodies. You got to come get this. And she really stepped back and thought about it like, man, should I get this? Because he talking that heavy game. So that was huge to know that they even had like pitch lines. They was working together as a team to get it done. And that's exactly what they did.
All-star volunteers, baby. We got to recruit them. Start them at an early age.
I just want to say thank you to them. They were awesome. Like, I sat there with them most of the time just watching them. I didn't have to necessarily say anything. They were telling people to put their emails down, not asking. They were getting it popping. Like, and I just also wanted to say I like how the whole event brought the old DC out. It wasn't a new thing. I mean, I'm telling you, we went to the Congress, the Black Caucus event. It was very gentrified. So to be in a place where they had go-go pictures, go-go, They had go-go pictures and go-go, and they just had people out there with Chocolate City shirts on. It was very amazing to just see that, to be back home, be in an area where it was just very open and exciting. The dance I saw, he's actually from Cheney, so shout that out. He wasn't from high school, he was from Cheney. He was in the band, but he's definitely a performer. So he put on a show where he trained, well, I guess like he taught a routine, choreographer routine, and they were amazing. I am going to post a video up on the page later, so Revive_POC, so you guys can kind of see it. It's going to be little clips. We'll have the full video to come, but it was definitely good. I definitely like to see that they were out there giving it their all. They were serving breakfast, like brunch and everything, so it was nice. I liked it. Yeah, I did have my dad out there. I had my sister out there. My best friends came through. I just want to shout them out. My dad held it down for like 3 hours.
Yes, it was amazing to see, like, how we were just saying generation to generation. Like, we had Elijah and Emilio out there, they 13. Then we had us, we're young, we're in our mid-20s. And then we had your dad out there, you know, doing it. And he was chilling. It wasn't like, oh, I'm about to get out here and I ain't trying to be messing around with all these young whippersnappers. No, he fed right in. He was chilling. You know what I mean? We was talking. He was talking about some things I was interested in. I was talking about some things he was interested in. So it was really dope to see, you know, how that event can bring so many different people together. And, like, one thing as we were doing when we was driving to the Archer Culture Center was like, Tyler was like, yo, we could just set up shop. We can literally just pull up and set up shop anywhere. And that's one thing that I seen a lot of people just like, yo, this is my craft. I'm about to just jump out there and see what they can do. So definitely shout out to Congress Heights Ultra Cultural Center. You can follow them on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CHACC_DC. Once again, that's CHACC_DC for more pictures. So make sure you guys stay tuned. They're going to be flooding the timelines today. So make sure you guys stay tuned. I thought that was huge. Yo, Elijah, so you said that you could see yourself being an entrepreneur, right? What kind of entrepreneur do you see yourself being? Like, what do you see yourself doing? And you said 5 years. So I'm quoting what you said. You said five. I ain't say five. So what do you see yourself doing in 5 years as an entrepreneur?
Maybe design, because I want to, when I get old enough, I want to design stuff. So maybe buildings, clothes, shoes, anything that really pays the bills, I'll be good with. As long as I got TV, I'm good.
Me, I do it for the culture. So I just help everybody. Like the homeless, I help them probably build a building. Not in 5 years exactly, but maybe like in 10, a good 10. You know, just like Elijah said, anything that helps the bills. Right now, I'm already an entrepreneur. About to start selling candy at my school. Mm-hmm.
Selling candy is good. I did that my entire senior year. I paid off my class trip and bought my ring. I ain't had no help, so get it popping.
I agree with you. You got to do whatever you got to do. And it's funny how you guys keep saying pay the bills, bro. They 13. What bills they got? Like, what y'all over here talking about? Y'all watching too much TV. Elijah's talking about, yeah, whatever, pay the bills. He trying to put on the sexy face like y'all can see him. He don't know his radio, right? They can't see you, Elijah. They cannot see you. But anyway, yes. So, Emilio, you said one thing that just struck a chord because all three of us jumped back. We was like, what? You doing for the culture, right? What you mean you doing it for the culture? So you got to break that down for our listeners because, you know what I'm saying, when you hear somebody who's 13 talking about they doing it for the culture, we gotta know exactly what that means, because I'm trying to do something for the culture, and what I'm trying to do for the culture is bring back this communication that's going to unify us each and every day when we, you know, we out here on the streets. So what are you trying to do for the culture?
Well, what I'm trying to do is help millennials, people our age, because everybody just likes to be lazy and just sit on the couch being a couch potato when they could be out, they could be making money right now. But instead, they're just playing video games right now instead of helping other people, you know, helping them with our economy. Mm-hmm. Like, a lot of people our age are lazy and they don't want to, you know, pay their own bills. They want to have help from their parents or have help from everybody else. So that's basically what I meant by helping the culture, helping people understand.
What about you, Elijah? You doing it for the culture? What you doing it for, Elijah? What you doing your entrepreneurship skills for, the culture or what?
Yeah, I might try it out for the culture just to help with the schools, because the school I go to, Ernest Evans Just, is out Largo. It's not the best school, but it's not the worst. It's kind of in the middle. I wish the education was pushed more. It's cool, but I wish it was a little bit safer, you know, kids are like scared to walk home, you know, because they got worried about getting jumped or something like that, getting jumped or robbed. So, yeah, just maybe like doing little events and stuff for the culture just to make it a safer place, safer environment and stuff like that.
What y'all, man? Y'all sound like some bright young men down here. You know what I'm saying? Y'all showing off for the radio today, man, because I was just having a conversation with y'all yesterday. And y'all wasn't talking about none of this. Elijah was? All right, we'll give it to him. But let's see who this call is. We got a call on the line. Hey, caller, you're live on Revive. What's your name and where you calling from?
That must be me.
Yes, this is you. I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you.
Oh, let me get off my phone. All right, so everybody calls me Doc. So I know Deb, Tab. Good morning to everybody. Number one. Good morning to you, y'all met. I heard some wonderful things come out of your mouth.
Thank you.
Because the educational system, it stinks. Now, so entrepreneurship, from what I hear everybody talking about, whether it's for the culture or not, it's the way to go, period. You should work for oneself first and foremost. So, that being said, you know, that's how it should be.
So you saying that everything that we do should be for the culture is what you're saying? I'm sorry, you were kind of breaking up a little bit.
Oh, no, it's not particularly that it's for the culture. First of all, education teaches you to go work for someone else. So if you're trying to have entrepreneurship type of mind frames, you work for yourself. Now, I'm not going to tell a person, if you're working for yourself and you're a person of color, then you're working for your culture. Doing that right there, you're doing that. If you're working for self, you're working for someone else, which, I mean, we have to. It is what it is. But then that's another topic for that. Are the people working for others doing for their culture? Because a person working for themselves is actually doing for his culture.
I agree with you there, but at the same time, so I'm going to ask you another question. How do we become the employer instead of the employees?
You got to, since the banking system doesn't want to give people of color money in the first place, but as a conglomerate, I just had this conversation not too long ago with a friend of mine about some property. You know, if you can pull the money together and everybody set aside their opinions about this and that, and their egos, you can do the same thing that the Jews did. They didn't go to the banks. They pulled their money together and bought property, and they pulled the money back into the pool. So, I mean, you're not going to get it from the banking system. You're not getting it from white America. It's not going to happen. I'm trying for, what, 400 plus thousand?
400 plus.
Messing with that. It's not going to happen.
Yes, 400 plus years. I agree with you there. But I feel at the same time, we have to do our part. So what you were saying was true, but we have to do our part. Like how Emilio and Elijah was saying, we got to get up. We got to get off of these couches. We got to stop looking for the handouts. We got to stop looking for the people to give it to us. And we got to go get it for ourselves.
Right, right. Correct. 100% correct.
Yes, and that's why we got these 13-year-olds out here now, you know, helping us, you know, trying to show them the way of how to become entrepreneurs so when they, you know, get into the right, because it doesn't take any age. Age really doesn't matter when it comes to entrepreneurship, because there's definitely people out here who are, you know, 8 and 12 making, you know, billion-dollar ideas. So we just got to get them in the right environment, in the right space, and definitely teaching them the right things and the materials that they need so they can start it off.
Yeah, every idea can be used to make money, help people. But if you hold on to the idea, then you'll never know what it can do.
Exactly.
You know, every idea may not work, but you have to throw the ideas out there. I mean, that's my field of endeavor. I'm an educator, which I teach world culture, but I went to school and I have a marketing degree. So I've always been a self wanting to do my thing. Yeah. You know, so that's the way that they have to strive. But the educational system does not teach that. So it doesn't matter what school young gentlemen go to, the mind frame has to be changed. Now you're going to school because you're looking to operate on your own, so you need those skills. You need that reading skill. You need that math skill so that you can go find out the truths about this and that. So without those two number one skills, it doesn't matter. You need those skills to step out and be an entrepreneur. So those are the two skills that the school system gives you, and you have to take full advantage of that. Everything else they're going to give you is a bunch of bull.
Yes, I agree with you. We in the studio as you're talking, we were talking, we actually like listening and vibing off of what you were saying. So I appreciate you calling in and supporting the Revive platform. Continue to call in. At 12 o'clock, we're going to have Keith coming on the platform too. So I know the conversation will get a little interesting. So definitely stay tuned. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Yes, I agree what he was saying about entrepreneurship as well. That's why I was telling him that that's the reason why we got Elijah and Amelia out here now, so we can educate them on what to do and how to get started. Yo, Tad Money, how you feel about that?
I just feel like amazed that I didn't have to train Amelia and Elijah that much. Like, they really just like was naturals, organically just naturals at this. And they was like, all I had to do was educate them on the products, how much the prices was. I didn't have to educate them on how to talk to people. I didn't have to educate them on, like, yo, we need sales pitches. This is how you attack people for the sales, attack their weaknesses or their laziness. None of that. They just took it upon themselves. It was like, yeah, I'm already a natural at this. I know I hustle. I'm about to, yeah, get rid of these headbands, these sweatshirts, these bracelets, these incense. And I just love that. I really do love that. They do need some training to so that we can perfect this and it can be the oil machine. But I'm just like, yo, do you know how many 25-year-olds, how many 30-year-olds, how many 40s and 50-year-olds I have to train on getting sales and getting clients? It was very, very easy. So, yeah, that's just like how I feel about that. I just, it makes me feel good to know that.
It makes me feel amazing to know that, definitely. It makes me feel amazing to know that they ready. You know what I mean? They ready. It's just that they stay ready so we have to get them ready. You know what I mean? So that was... Yeah, they was that we over there like, y'all, come on, let's pack this stuff up. They're like, I thought you said three. I'm like, y'all, let's go. We got a show in the morning. Let's be out, right? I'm like, Tyler, get him now. Definitely. Well, it was amazing. Definitely amazing. But like I was saying, up next, we got Keith Taylor coming on the Revive platform. We're going to be doing some what's buzzing, man. We're going to be talking about the NFL. We're going to be talking about Donald Trump, North Korea. We got a lot. And I want to know what these 13-year-olds are thinking about Donald Trump, man. Because the only president they know is Barack Obama. It was a George Bush in office when they were born, but they don't really know who George Bush was. I'm glad they don't know who George Bush was, because that was an epidemic for all of us. You know, you know what I'm saying? We all was in a recession. You know, I was still in high school, but I was still going through it. You know what I'm saying? So definitely, I want to know what these 13-year-olds are thinking when they hear the word Donald Trump, you know, or just the phrase president. Like, you know what I mean? It's a phrase now. It's not even like, you know, something that's amazing to hear. It's just like, what? We talking about the president again? You know what I'm saying? But we need to be talking about Donald Trump today, because he's out here talking some crazy, reckless stuff. How are you going to take away an invitation that nobody even wanted in the first place? You know what I'm saying? So I thought that was crazy. So up next, we are going to be joined with Keith Taylor himself, man. He hasn't been on Revive for almost a month, man, because I've been playing with these Sundays episodes, Keith. My bad, homie. My bad. I've been just moving and working. But he about to come back on Revive and spit some hot game for you guys. He's gonna drop some gems, and you know he comes with a wealth of knowledge, so make sure you guys stay tuned. We be back live. Make sure you guys follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Revive_POC. We are live tweeting and Facebook posting each and every time we get on the airwaves. So if you want to hit us up on Twitter or Facebook, we're gonna read your quote or your text or whatever over the air, so you guys can get into the conversation as well. You know what time it is. It's Meet Your Girl POC.
When I was a young girl, my dream was to be a softball player. I had a wicked fastball that shattered the other teams. But when they cut the funding for physical education, I didn't get the chance to play. And my dream struck out. I still get to throw heat for a living, but it's just a little different now.
Let me tell you who to blame. Blame the boy lying at your feet, his body oozing life through the hole in his stomach where the bullet tore him apart. Blame him for challenging you, for not looking away and for not backing down when you pulled out the gun. Blame your mother for bringing you into this world when she was but a kid herself, and for dragging you up, not bringing you up. Blame society for not giving you hope. Blame your father for not being there, the man who looked after himself instead of looking after you. Blame the gun in your hand for making you a target, for making you more likely to be picked on. Blame the dead boy, blame your mother, blame society, blame your father, blame the gun, blame anyone but yourself for not being strong enough to put down the gun, to break the cycle.
Welcome to Revive. It's about that time. Welcome to Revive. It's about that time. All I need is one mic. You know what time it is. Open up your ears. You know what time it is. Open up your mind. It's about that time. It's your girl, POC.
Yes, 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 yes. We are back live on Revive. Make sure you guys spread the word, spread the message that we are live on timeforanawakening.com/revive. Once again, we are live on timeforanawakening.com/revive. Or you can go directly to Tune and you can download the app or go to the website and just search Time for an Awakening. Hit Meet Your Girl POC Live each and every Sunday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. and each and every winning Wednesday from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Make sure you guys stay tuned. We are also going live on DG Radio tomorrow. Shout out to Daily Grind Radio. We're going to be going live on Daily Grind Radio each and every Monday from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m., man. Make sure you guys stay tuned. We got What the Fact hosted by your girl, Talia Venia, each and every Monday around 8:35. Make sure you guys tune in. Yo, tomorrow's show is going to be epic. Tomorrow's show on DG is about to be epic, man. Make sure you guys stay tuned. Tab Money coming in. She don't know where the headphones at, man. God dang, we trying to run a show here. We need some headphones, Tab. But yes, up next, we got my man, Keith Taylor, coming on with What's Buzzing. Man, he about to drop some gems for you guys. Man, I know today's show is going to be incredible because of the amount of opinions and ideas that we have. Tab Money just everywhere right now, man. I know we in your studio, but that don't mean you running stuff right now. I'm on air right now, Tab. I'm on air, Tab.
I'm the boss when me and you get together. I'm the biggest sister. Hey, but yeah, we do got the headphones. We got everything. I'm so excited for Keith. I see Miss Deb. No, that's not Miss Deb. I was about to say, I see Miss Deb on the line, but that's not Miss Deb. We got Keith. Who is the caller we got calling in? Caller, what's your name and where you from?
So if you look out with the family.
Caller, what's your name and where you from? You live on Revive.
I tell you,
caller.
The caller that was Tyler's dad, that's what she was trying to tell you. He just calling in to listen to everything that we're saying here today. You was a little lost for words, Tab. You was a little lost for words. Yes, yes. But up next, we got Keith, what was buzzing. But Harmony, you ain't get your piece off about art all night. I want to hear what your thoughts and, you know, what you learned from yesterday. How was it for you?
Being in a space with creatives is always amazing. Just always amazing. And from the paintings to even when I even took a little workshop and the youth was directing the workshop. It was a Dinkra symbol workshop, and we was making a button out of clay. And every time someone new came to the table, she had her elevated pitch ready. She had her elevated pitch ready. So it was just amazing just to see the confidence in the youth, and then also just the love that was shown around the whole city from the whole street. The food was amazing, like the crab egg roll. I'm just saying, I just have to like get a stock of those and bring that back to Jersey. We don't got nothing like that in Jersey.
I'm with it. Them crab egg rolls was amazing, man. You ain't want shit. Harmony had hers. I'm like, yo, let me get a piece. She's like, man, isn't this mine? I'm like, yeah, but you can give me a little piece. But definitely those crabs. Shout out to Tab. What was they called again?
Capitol Hill Crab Cakes off of Good Hope Road, Southeast, Southside Creative.
Yes, please go support that Black-owned business. They did amazing. They cooked it right on the spot. And that's one thing that, you know, the host was saying,
made
like,
to order.
Yes, they were saying, like, yo, this is not something that they prepared yesterday. This is something that they're making right there in front of you. And as I was peeking around the corner, that's exactly what they was doing, making it right there in front of you. So that was huge. So shout out to that whole Arts All Night DC thing. That was amazing. It was different spots around the city as well. But we held it down in Congress Heights. But we're about to get into this What's Buzzing with Keith Taylor, man. He about to drop some gems for you guys.
What's buzzing? Lost in a world full of words, or a combination of which enters me. On to rants such as what's buzzing. What's amazing is what a large world this is. Today in this world, we are either talking about the something, the no thing, and what's buzzing. Current events, Let's talk about it. You have an opinion. Let's talk about it. What's buzzing?
Yo, Keith, you out there? How you feeling?
What up, POC? I'm feeling good. How about yourself?
I'm great, man. I'm excited to have you on the show today, man. How you been? I ain't talked to you in a couple weeks. How you been?
I'm just out here maintaining, you know, trying to live the everyday life that we have been granted each and every day. So I've been good. How about yourself? You been good?
I've been good, man. Yesterday I was at the CBC like, yo, I need Keith right here, man. I'm trying to tell you, next year I'm taking you with me. Keith, I know you would have ate that alive. It was so much going on. So many different, you know, political views. So many different political analysts that was in the building. We had some politicians. We had some state reps. We had some congressmen, some congresswomen. We had Angela Rye, Keith, man. Angela Rye was in the building with us on Wednesday, man. It was a great feeling. John Lewis, Maxine Waters, like everybody was in that convention center this weekend, Keith. I know for a fact I'm taking you next year.
Hey, that's what's up. And that's what we need as a country. You know, we need to provide these more thought-provoking, creative spaces where people have different opinions, but we're open-minded about our different opinions and that we can come together, you know, and find a way to progress society and progress the nation.
I'm with you on that. I'm definitely with you on that. And in order to do that, we need to make sure that you get your seat at the table so you can get that opinion, that perspective out, because they're going to hear you. You know what I'm saying? I know for a fact they're going to hear you, Keith. So I'm going to make sure that you're in that room next year.
Oh, hear me, you know? Hear me. Like my grandfather say, hear me out here doing a bit more.
Yes, I'm with it. So TLS is in the building. Keith, go ahead and give you a shout out where they can find you right now and how they can hear you right now.
So Instagram, Facebook, TLS Politics, and if you want to send us an email at the left side, thelefside at gmail.com. So on Instagram and Facebook, we do questions of the day, Monday through Friday, and then we go on there and post articles and repost articles of sort of like current events, breaking news, things that's going on in the world. And then on Instagram, we try to do a video a day just to break down a hot topic and to give you all a little bit more insight of what's going on in the world of politics.
I'm with it, Keith. Yo, Keith, we got a jam-packed studio today, man. We got Harmony the Goddess. We got Elijah. We got Young Millie, as he said. We got Tyler Vini, and we got Tab Money. So when I tell you this conversation today is going to be incredible, it's going to be incredible. Everybody came out to this What's Buzzing today because we know you got some news for us. Where you want to start? You want to start with North Korea or you want to start with Donald Trump? I know they mix into both, but what you want to start with?
Man, let's talk about everybody's favorite person, Trump. Let's go there. Let's go to that.
Oh, my God. That ain't my favorite person. That ain't my favorite person at all, Keith. So what about Donald Trump? He's out here making some noise. He's out here talking some crazy talk. He's in the NFL. He's talking to North Korea. He's out here just saying whatever's on his mind lately. So where you want to start with it?
So in his most recent episode in the life of Donald Trump, this past week, he was at a rally for a guy campaigning for office in Alabama, and he made some very disturbing comments. So, as we all know, Colin Kaepernick has kind of started this thing of not standing for the national anthem, but just taking a knee. And out of it, he said that it's hard for him to stand for something that he does not feel represents all of America. All right? Now, this past week, Donald Trump, at this rally in front of his supporters and other children and adults and things, said that those son of a bees should be fired. The owners should take responsibility and fire anybody who does not stand for the national anthem or who protests it. Now, and we all know as a leader, your biggest thing is to bring people together. At the end of the day, your job is to find a way to be a medium for people to come together or for us to do something greater, right? Now, you're the most powerful man in the world, and you are at a rally. First off, calling people sons of bees. Number two, you're calling for the firing of people for their jobs.
And he should be fired himself.
Their First Amendment right of free speech. Now, whether you agree with them standing or whether you agree with them kneeling, they should not lose their jobs for them standing on behalf of something that they feel very strongly about. And that's where the problem comes in, is that you as the president of the United States of America are calling for people to get fired because they do not feel that they are equally being represented or that the things that the national anthem or the things that we as America say that we pride ourselves in, that you are now taking that right away, that you are going to try to force somebody to stand for something that they do not feel represents them. And then number two, he then tweeted, as we know that's his favorite
thing. That's his thing to do. That's his thing to do.
That the NFL should be protesting and boycotted until NFL owners take action and then either start to suspend or fire these players. Now, what I was really interested in seeing, and what I'm glad that I'm reading more today about, is that NFL owners have actually come out in defense of their players. Roger Goodell said this is no
place for politics. The Patriots owner, yeah.
The Steelers today, before their game versus Chicago, said that they will stay in the locker room, not because they want to play politics, but because they feel that football is not a place of politics. Football on Sundays is technically your way to get away from what's going on in the world.
Cheer
for your favorite team for 60 minutes and to just have a good time. It's supposed to be a place for people who may be on different sides of the aisle, whether you're Democrat or Republican, whatever you view in life, whatever you do, to come together and cheer for one goal that I hope my team wins today.
No
which
doubt.
Is the Redskins. So hopefully the Redskins beat the Redskins.
I'm with you.
But,
yo, Keith, hold on. Before you get started, I want to read the tweet that he said. This is one of the tweets that Donald Trump tweeted yesterday, September 23rd, 2017 at 6:25 p.m. Roger Goodell, of the NFL just put out a statement trying to justify the total disrespect certain players show our country. Tell them to stand. So Roger Goodell was trying, but then our president, not my president, Donald Trump, you know, get upset that he put out that trying to justify them. You also got a caller, Keith. So let's get to this caller real quick before you get into it. I know you was ready. I'm like, oh man, I've got to cut him off. Let me get to this caller real quick.
Yo, man, come on, let's go. Let's talk about
it. Let's get it. Yo, caller, you're live on Revive. What's your name and where you calling from?
How you doing? It's your favorite She Rockin' City, Shinobi, Eric Ruffin.
What it do?
All right, so my whole thing, right, with that, they got this thing called football is family. So when they make these divides, right, it really contradicts everything the NFL is trying to do. You know, that's why they start doing the jersey swaps. You know what I mean? No hard feelings. I just beat you, but here, you know what I mean? Let me get yours, take mine. You know, football is supposed to be something that brings us together to piggyback off what he said. So, you know, the fact that he's doing that just shows how twisted he is. You know, he's not a leader. He's one of them people that that stepped into a position of power and about to run it into the floor. So, you know, to call him a leader, yeah, I mean, you know, he's the president of the United States, but, you know, that's not really saying much. Only because the people that wrote that Constitution is long dead. And in order for a system to be maintained the way it was supposed to be when it's written, takes a great deal of integrity and self-fortitude, which this country has none of. Because yesterday, I was scrolling through Facebook, right? And it's something that I shared before, but my little brother had ended up sharing it. And they had this carnival game from, I'm not sure if it was the early 1900s or the late 1800s, but it said, hit the nigger baby on this drum, right? And some dude, some white dude go comment and say, black people wasn't the only ones enslaved. Now, I gave this man a whole, you know, I'd have probably got an A on an essay if I'd have turned it in school. But I gave him a whole thing, and my main point was, why are you distracting from what this is about? Why does pointing out the injustice of black people in America make you so uncomfortable, family? So, you know, these folks.
That was a good point. That was a great point.
And they have no self-fortitude. And in order for stuff that people long dead created to stay in full effect, you have to have self-fortitude and integrity. Like when my dad passed, everything he taught me will be taught to my child. And so forth and so on, because we have iron will and self-fortitude, and this country doesn't have that. So you can't expect these folks to act like they got some home training and some sense when a lot of them don't, especially them folks in power, because they've been spoon-fed their whole life.
Well, nah, but to piggyback on what you were saying, though, yo, I just left a conference with thousands of people who are in a position of power. It's just how they're using their power is, you know, is what is causing the unjust that's going on in America. But it's a lot of people who have, you know, who have power who are using it the right way. I just left a conference, you know, I'm not advocating for everyone out there, but I just left a conference from people who are in a position of power, who has the power to make different laws and do different legislative things of that nature that are actually working in our favor. It's just that right now, the person who's at the the highest position of power does not agree with the people who can actually, you know, work in our favor at a local level. Keith, you have something to say about that?
Right. And that's what I was going to say. I was going to piggyback on what the caller said. And the biggest thing is that these people, like you say, who have been spoon-fed and who have basically been given it all throughout their entire life compared to the ones who had to work for it, they don't – it's hard for them to take themselves out of their mindset and off their stool to really go see what life is like for the other 99% of America or the other 99% of the world, because – you get accustomed to that. Now, I'm not saying all of them can't do it, which some can, and they tend to step out and see things or see the world from a different lens, or they put on their different pair of glasses to try to see, to really improve the world. Now, Donald Trump is not a person that can do that at all, which has clearly been seen over time and time again, from his comments to his actions to his decisions. He cannot take himself off of that stool to really see what life is like for African Americans, for Latinos in the world today, or even in America. And that's his struggle. And that's the reason why he makes these comments. That's the reason why we have these things. That's the reason why half of the Republican Party doesn't even agree with what is going on right now, or aren't fighting for the rights that we have, or the things that we want to see, or the things that we want to get done. It's their system. They want it to be their system, and they're going to find a way to try to curtail the system to them. That's why we have these conversations. That's why I'm glad that POC has this What's Buzzing section, so we can get callers like yourself and other callers who can come in and give their perceptions, so that then now we're spreading the word of what it's really like for people of our stature or people of our background.
I'm with you. And the one thing, you know, E, is that you had a lot of passion as you were speaking. And that's another thing that we're lacking is passion. We're lacking, you know, when it comes to this being our passion, this is being something that we need to get done now. A lot of people just see it as another phase. A lot of people just seem like, oh, this shell too will pass. We've been here before. We made it out of 400 years. We're going to make it out another 400 years. But it's not going like that, you know? And us as millennials, we are passionate. We feel it. We see it. We're living it. What are you about to say?
But, all right, so like, wait, no, all right. So like, look, the day where a movie that was supposed to be a joke can be implied to real life and it's real is like blowing my mind. You remember that movie Head of State where Chris Rock ran for president?
Yeah.
All right, so in that movie, when they actually finally got to for a debate, you know what I'm saying? He said, he had this little tangent he went on. And he said that basically what he went on to say is, how can you fix the problems that people struggle with if you ain't never struggled? How right. can you know what I mean? How can you fight the war on drugs if you ain't never smoked a nickel bag? How can you, you know, stop hunger if you ain't never starved? Because, you know what I mean? You ain't going to have the passion. Like what she said, you know, everything I come on this show and speak about, I done conversed with my father. I have strong feelings about it. I'm not going to open my mouth if I'm not going to do no research or you know, at least listen
yes.
to myself.
You got to do your homework.
Myself while I say it. So when you do, when you can apply a movie that was a comedy movie, and now, like, we got this person. They appointed this man for their own nefarious purpose. So, Amethyst, when you was talking about all them people that you just met in power, that is what me and Mr. Kabir was talking about on
the other show
weeks ago, or mm-hmm. weeks ago, whenever that was, on your show. They give you this false sense of power. Basically, they move you to a position and then move up the validity of that position. So now you got to keep up more. You know what I mean? You get
I'm with you.
It, so you never keeping up enough.
I'm with you. But let me bring Tyler Vigna into this conversation as well. She got something to say. You know, we was getting all into it. Like I said, we got a jam-packed studio. So let's let everybody get something in real quick. Hold on one second.
I love it.
No, I just wanted to say, actually, I just wanted to say thank you to Donald Trump, because now I actually feel like he's about to bring this issue so forefront that it's about to cause more controversy than he ever even wanted. Like, Colin Kaepernick couldn't do it by himself. But when you try to call people out, that's when you look stupid and you rise everything up. So now I know for sure that the Jaguars coach actually locked arms with his players on the game today. And he was actually the first coach to do it. So when you thought it couldn't get any worse, it's about to get worse. And you can't take everybody down. So I just want to say thank you to him, because he's about to start some fire for real.
And my question is that, like, when I'm going to get the NBA players to take a knee? Like, I need to see Kaepernick is the only one since Muhammad Ali, Joe Frazier back in the day that's really making an impact as far as they protest through sports and celebrity status. But I'm like, when people in the NBA going to step up and like, yo, let's take a knee. Let's protest. When I'm going to see people say I'm a protest, I'm not going to watch the NBA games because of this or because of that. We got people protest the NFL, but I'm ready to see people protest the NBA as well. Let's get this. We got to impact. The impact is when we hit their dollars and when we protest the NFL and the NBA and stop watching the games and stop going to the games, stop buying the jerseys, stop spending money at the games. That's when the coaches and the people who own the teams going to be like, yeah, we got to switch up the strategic plans now because now they're impacting our dollars.
Keith, what were you about to say?
I was about to say, I think the NBA maybe when the season starts, probably in October or so, next month, I guess, you may start to see some things like that. You may start to see some players.
We shouldn't have to wait, though, Keith. We shouldn't have to wait. The time is now. You know what I mean? You're still, even if your season hasn't started, you're still an NBA player. People still see you as LeBron James in the offseason. They don't see you as, you know, LeBron James who just off right now. No, you're still an NBA superstar. You know what I'm saying?
And then I think that's the thing as well is that, like you said, I don't know actually what they're doing in their community or any community in the nation for that matter. So they probably are doing things. I don't know because I'm not them. But I'm saying, like, if you want to see them, or as she said, during the games, you're waiting to see them kneel during the anthem and things like that, then, I mean, there's no way for us to see that now because they're not on the court. Now, I know an MLB player, a baseball player, kneeled the first one sometime this past week. But I think it goes beyond just kneeling during the anthem. And essentially standing up for your rights. It definitely goes, what are you doing off the field in your other 24 hours of the day, 6 days a week, to really enhance or progress this cause? What are you really doing? And I understand taking a knee is the first step in what Kaepernick is doing, but also what else is going on in the community that you are taking part in that is helping progress the people that you feel are underserved or underprivileged?
LeBron James actually did come forth and say something. Like Keith said, their season hasn't started, so they can't physically give you their knee for a national anthem. But I do agree with Tab. We can't just keep talking about it. We got to be about it. So he did speak up in a tweet to kind of say that he's Donald Trump is at this point is trying to divide us, and he's using sports as a platform to do it. And we just need to be strong to stay together to keep, you know, to keep the forefront going. So I do think that they're going to, I mean, honestly, I think what he did is about to wake everybody up. And I do think that when their season comes, hopefully they take this stand. And they don't have to take a knee. They can do it in their own way, shape, or form, but just let everybody know that they're not what was going on, for real.
Because you also have to think about what's going on in St. Louis. So let's switch it up a little bit. Because you also got to think about what's going on in St. Louis at the exact same time. He still has not come out to make any statements about, you know, what's going on in St. Louis because another officer once again got off for murdering another black man. They got off. So the city of St. Louis is in is going off right now. They're doing so many different things from different protests, you know, protesting the mall and everything of that nature to stop the injustice that's going on in their city. So I think that's what Tyler said. It's going to wake people up around the world. It's going to people, especially in this country in general. Everyone, if you're not paying attention or if you're not, you know, having a different mindset or a different mental state of mind about what's going on, then there's a problem. You cannot be stuck in the Obama era anymore. The Obama era is gone. We're not, you know, singing happy days anymore. We're now in the time where we need to be doing our homework. We need to be doing our research. We need to be having these different conversations like we're having now so we can know exactly what's going on. Keith, can you tell us a little bit about St. Louis, about what you know so far about St. Louis?
So you spoke to the majority of it is that recently a Caucasian police officer was acquitted of first-degree murder for murdering a African-American. Now, there were protests in response to that, and reading and seeing some stuff, they said that it was a lot more peaceful than when Ferguson happened. But then the police also took precautions on their end so that we don't have another Ferguson. So, as in some videos, you can see that the police told the protesters to get on knees, and the next thing you know, they start spraying pepper gas or tear gas. And then as they went to the mall, they were told to disperse, and some people broke glass. classes and started rioting and looting and things like that. Now, I was told that it was a small portion of people who were actually involved in those negative actions, but that the majority of the protests were peaceful. Now, I think where the problem comes in is that you have, I read that it was an undercover St. Louis police officer and an Air Force lieutenant. And the Air Force lieutenant kind of was just walking through the neighborhood to try to see like what was going on. And then that
his name is Jason Stockley, by the way. His name is Jason Stockley.
Right. And then but the Air Force lieutenant, he was like, I guess the police use this tactic called kettling, which kind of boxes in the protesters. And he said that the police were telling them to disperse, but he's looking at them like, okay, well, I'm trying to leave, or I'm trying to go here. Like, this is my street. This is where I go to get coffee. This is where I bank. This is where I live at. And the police were not letting them leave. So it was like, well, you're telling me to disperse, but you're not letting me disperse. And then he said, next thing you know, he just woke up on the ground with like a bloody nose. Then you have an undercover St. Louis police officer who said the same thing. Like, okay, you're telling me to leave. I'm trying to leave, but you're not letting me leave. So I'm not understanding. And then next thing you know, you wake up with a bloody nose, or you wake up on the ground being dragged and things like that. And then you have multiple accounts saying the same thing, like, okay, we're trying to leave, but you aren't letting me leave. Or we're protesting peacefully, and then when you show up in riot gear, that then incited the violence and took it to another level.
But the crazy part, though, Keith, is nowadays, like, you have to question your First Amendment. You have to question what is a peaceful protest. Because, like, just to bring it back, I know I just brought it back and tried to change the subject, but what you just said stemmed a little bit more conversation on the Colin Kaepernick stories. Like, if you think about it, what is a peaceful protest? I'm sorry. Because Colin, all he did was take a knee. He never said anything out of his mouth. He never mentioned anything out of his mouth when he was taking this knee. He never said anything to any of his teammates. He didn't try to influence his teammates. He didn't like go around the locker room like, yo, today I'm gonna take this knee, anybody with me? All he did was he put his uniform on, he got ready, they started to line up for the anthem, and he took his knee peacefully. That's all he did for the entire season that he was, you know, on the San Francisco. So now when you talk about peaceful protesting, you know, you have people in St. Louis who are protesting because Anthony Lamar Smith died. He lost his life in December of 2011 off the hands of a police officer, which his name is Jason Stockley, because he felt as though his life was bigger and better than Anthony Lamar Smith's life. For what? You know what I'm saying? So now we have to deal with a way of understanding what is a peaceful protest. But I do want to let Elijah and Amelia, who is in the studio as well with us, Keith, they're our young interns. We're trying to prepare them for a whole lot of different stuff. You know what I mean? They're 13, Keith, so they got a different perspective than what we would have in our, you know, in our mid-20s. So I want to know what you guys are thinking, because you guys watch sports. You guys are growing up saying you want to be, you know, football players and things like that. How do you guys feel about what's going on in the NFL? Are you guys still excited to watch the NFL? Or, you know, by you being young, do you really understand what's going on with the boycott and everything? I'm going to start with you, Amelia.
All right, so to start it off, what Colin Kaepernick and all those other NFL players did doesn't really affect how I'm watching the NFL, because there's still other people, and then there's still the game. And then so the NFL, Donald Trump, when we're talking about him, I don't think he's doing anything
I see. You see him, Keith? He was trying to get it together. I'm going to go to you, Elijah, see where you at with it. Just take your time. The people, they're listening to you guys. You know, they just want to know what you're thinking. So just take your time. If you know, if you got any opinions on the NFL, if you want to talk about Donald Trump, let us know what you're thinking.
So I'd be wrong if I didn't. If I was on this radio and I didn't give a shout out to my girl, Danae Smith, my cousin Sanaya Snowden, my boy David O, Danny Monty, James Peters. But I look at the NFL like this. I want to do is see a good game, see my team win, you know, everybody safe, nobody gets injured. I don't look at it nothing past that. But when I hear the name Donald Trump, I get a little bit upset. I get a little bit upset because all the things that he's doing, I feel like he's not really thinking about the safety of his people. So when he's talking trash or to Kim Jong-il, is that how you pronounce his name? Kim Jong-il.
Kim Jong-il.
But, yeah, when he's talking trash to him, I feel like he don't really care about the safety of his people because he could bomb us at any time. We not prepared. But also when I hear the name Donald Trump, I feel like racist. He's a little racist. He says little slick things out of his mouth that he feels that I think he doesn't feel that we won't catch it. Just little stuff like that that'll make us upset. But he doesn't really care.
Mm-hmm. I want to go off of that. I don't think it escaped the minds of a lot of people, but I think we should really look at this and what happened this past Friday and really analyze it. And so Donald Trump was very quick to call out the NFL players who stand, kneel in solidarity, right? Mm-hmm.
But, yo, Key, before you get into this, though, Tyler got an interesting fact from the Pittsburgh Steelers. I'm going to let her read this, yo. The Pittsburgh Steelers just did something huge, Key. Check this one out.
Yeah, go ahead, Tyler.
So it's actually just in that they won't be participating in the national anthem, and it's not like they're not going to take a knee, they're not going to do any of that. They actually just won't even be on the field. Their coach reported it. So like I said, he's about to wake some stuff up that he's not even prepared for. And when it gets real, I'm just going to say that every team is about to start doing something different.
Yo, Keith, right. So they not even about to be on the field when the anthem come on. They coming on after the credits.
He said that football is not a place for politics. Football is football. Football is family. Football is a game that's supposed to take us away from what's going on. And his players or him as a coach should not be forced to stand for something that they don't feel represents them. Or they should not feel betrayed if their brother besides them stands. Or if their brother besides them kneel, they should not have any ill will or negative attitude towards them. That football is not a place for this, and us as the Pittsburgh Steelers are not technically going to stand for that. So what we're going to do is we're just not going to go out. So we don't put any of our players, any of our coaching staff in any awkward situations. And tomorrow it's going to be very interesting about how this plays out and what Donald Trump has to say. And I'm curious to see, I mean, I know we just had two teams that just play, and you saw Shad Khan of the Jaguars, the owner, actually stand on the field with his players and locked arms.
That's amazing.
They're sitting up in the press booth. But it's going to be curious to see what these other 30 teams do in order to stand against Donald Trump and his negative comments of what he said.
And then the crazy part is the Jaguars are in Florida, right?
Yeah, they're in Florida, but they were playing overseas in London.
Oh, wow. Wow. So that was huge. I was just thinking about it from a Florida perspective. As soon as I think of Florida, I think of George Bush. I think of Al Gore. I think of cheating. I think of, you know, racism. I think of all that as soon as I think of Florida. So to know that, you know, the owner of a Florida team was locking arms in solidarity, that's pretty huge. That's really big.
But if you want to take it a step further than that, Shad Khan, the owner, Jaguars, the one who stood on the field, donated at least over $1 million to the Trump campaign and supported Donald Trump.
I did not know that.
Right.
I did not know that.
Yep.
That's huge.
He took that stand. So, and I think that's huge, and that's showing, like, okay, like, regardless of whatever you say, I may have supported you, but I'm not going to back you on something that we feel is wrong. But really quick, I want to hit this point before we go back. So as I was saying, Donald Trump, really quick, was quick to point out that the NFL players who kneel in protest of the anthem, should be fired. But as we remember during Charlottesville, Donald Trump cannot place blame on the people who were protesters or white nationalists or neo-Nazis and who only wanted to see the pure white race. He placed blame on both sides. But you can quickly point out an NFL player who is of opposite skin color and who stands for opposite values of what you do, but you can't point out people who stand against a whole race or a whole nation and who only wants to see one pure race. And I think that's really the disturbing part about this whole thing.
But the crazy part is, Keith, though, he's been contradicting himself since he's been in office. You know what I mean? Like, he'd say one thing and do another, and say one thing and take it back. He'd say one thing and say he never said it. You know what I mean? So he's a contradiction within himself. And it's definitely about to be displayed because he's getting into more things, and he's putting his name and his nose into things that he shouldn't be. He needs to stop being nosy and mind his business and handle the things that are going on in the White House. So because he's this, I'm not even going to call him this millennial president, but he's the president of the new millennial. He's having, the different devices such as Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, all of that at the touch of his fingertips. He's able to get more involved into things that he should not be involved in. He should never be able to make a tweet, a comment, anything on the NFL. That's not something that he should be doing. That's not something that is his job. That's not something that we even expect from the president of the United States. We would never think that you would see a president tweeting about something that's going on in the NFL. I haven't seen that in 25 years. I know I'm still young, but to know that a president is like, yo, I'm about to jump on Twitter and say something about the NFL. I'm about to jump on Twitter and say something about Steph Curry. I'm about to jump on Twitter and say something about Colin Kaepernick. That's crazy. You know what I mean? And then how you going to try to take back an invitation that they didn't even want in the first place? You know, he tried to jump on Twitter talking about he's going to rescind Stephen Curry's invitation to the White House because he doesn't want it. Duh, that's why he didn't want to come. He never wanted it in the first place. Like, how you going to boss up on somebody who already bossed up on you?
Right, and I agree with what you said to an extent that you would never see a president comment on sports. I think it's true to a degree because President Obama and even George Bush, to a sense, were involved in sports. So President Obama would always come out and do like a final attorney bracket for the March Madness. We knew he was an avid Chicago Cubs fan, Chicago Bears fan. But the difference is that these presidents or past presidents or politicians, if it was involved in sports or any sports manner, George Bush came out at the Yankees game and threw the first pitch out right after 9/11 as a symbol of solidarity and fortitude. But these actions were in positive lights. These actions showed strength or showed that, okay, I'm doing it for something good. Donald Trump got involved in sports for a negative faction. Now, if Donald Trump came out and said that, we see that Colin Kaepernick is kneeling. We see that Marshawn Lynch is sitting on the bench when the national anthem is playing. We're seeing that all these other players are either kneeling or doing something else for the flag. We should take a deeper look at what is going on and the social causes of why this is happening in order to try to progress so this does not happen. That instead of me trying to bash Steph Curry, instead of me trying to bash Colin Kaepernick and these other players, maybe I should go to them or invite them to sit down and talk and be like, okay, what's really going on?
Exactly.
Or to send them a message or send them somebody on my staff or campaign and be like, look, even if it's going to piss your base off, the president has enough people to send that nobody knows they work on behalf of the president.
Exactly.
And they keep it secret. To really dive deep into the issues.
But the crazy part is, though. The crazy part is, though, Keith, I agree with you there, but the crazy part is, though, he tried that. Remember, he tried that at the beginning. He had Martin Luther King III. He had Steve Harvey. He tried to bring, certain people who made noise in the African-American community down to his office and sit with him. And the crazy part is he took him to the Trump Towers. So that's disrespectful in general. If you're the president, take me to the White House. Don't be taking me to no Trump Towers. What kind of meeting is this? You know what I'm saying? But anyway,
about to say that's for show. That's for like.
Hey, that's what I'm saying. Yes, exactly.
This is a photo op. I hear what you're saying, but all right, we got this done. Let's move on. I'm trying to reach to my African American base as much as I can.
Exactly.
So they can point back to a situation like you just said and say, hey, well, we had Steve Harvey come over here. We had Martin Luther King III, one of the most influential people. His father. One of the most influential people
he's
in
nothing like
civil
his dad.
Rights movement. Who else do you want me to reach out to?
Exactly. He's nothing like his dad. I bet you his mom and his dad was rolling over when he jumped off them elevators. But anyway, for you guys who are just tuning in, once again, you're listening to Meet Your Girl PLC and Keith Taylor. We're doing What's Buzzing Right Now, the What's Buzzing segment. Make sure you guys stay tuned. You can go to timeforanawakening.com/revive. Once again, you go to timeforanawakening.com/revive, or you can download the TuneIn app or go directly to the website and just search Time for an Awakening. We'll we'll be on your airways from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And you can also give us a call, 215-490-9832. Once again, that's 215-490-9832. You can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram right now at Revive_POC. We're talking politics. We're talking sports. We're talking Donald Trump. Oh, my gosh, we're talking Donald Trump. But Tyler has something to say. Yo, Tyler, what you was about to say?
No, I was just going to say basically what Keith said. When you actually, POC, when you spoke and said that as a president, he shouldn't be speaking on sports, Keith made a point. He should be speaking on sports like every other past president, just in a positive light. He just needs to shed a different light on it. And he's bringing too much negative energy to the whole platform. And what he fails to realize is sports is a big thing, like not even just football, but it keeps us going as American people. That's what we love to watch. So him bringing all this negative energy to it is only bringing more negative energy to himself. Like the coach who funded his campaign, now he's actually saying, okay, I don't agree with that. So he's, you know, standing for something different. And these people that were beside him are going to start flipping on him. And the reason why he's tweeting about Steph Curry and all that is because he's in his feelings. And he's, you know, he's not acting like a president. He's acting like a person. And he's letting the emotions get to him. He needs to act, he needs to take emotion from out of it in general. But basically what Keith said is what I was going to say.
I'm with it, definitely. And Harmony found something, too, on Twitter that talked about how the NFL actually put out money for the inauguration for Donald Trump. Go ahead and read the tweet for us.
And so Rashad Robinson tweeted, NFL owners are now making statements attacking Trump, even referencing racism, while still blackballing Kaepernick, words without action. Color of a Change tweeted, also worth noting, NFL owners gave $7 million to the 45th inauguration, and then also the marketing gave $100,000. So just kind of, you got to pick a side if you're going to bring money to both sides. I don't know, like for me it's just it's a little confusing, because who are you supporting for real? So that's kind of where I'm standing.
I don't think it's about who you support, and because I think back then when they were running with the campaign and doing the, you know, inauguration and everything like that, I think that was just like, oh, this is actually my friend. He never made that statement before that came out, or actually support, you know, all the racist views that he has at this point, but he's doing it on the low. But now he's actually bringing me into it. You know what I'm saying? So for example, if I give Keith $1 million for him to go and do his thing and we're chilling, and then I make a comment, in the middle of all that about, you know, something that's racist or anything, that's going to bring drama and, you know, confusion to you as a person. So now you have to rectify yourself as a business. Be like, yeah, I did invest in him because what he was doing with the money at that time. But now that I know he's making, you know, all these racial views and these racial points to different people, I do not stand with him, but I did invest with him. So I think that that's what the NFL commissioner is trying to say. Keith, am I wrong?
No, I was going to say that. I was like, we can even take it to a more basic level than that. I'm sure we have all had friends that we were like, yo, like, that's my boy. Oh, that's my girl. We're really cool. But then they made an action. They did something that was wrong, something that you didn't agree with, something that you felt completely defied your moral values. And you did as much as you could to try to distance yourself. You're like, you know what? That's it. I can't do this anymore. And I think it's, even though they put these and money is power, but I think at the end of the day, it boils down to that. Like you said, during that time, they supported him. Donald Trump stood for their values. They could closely align themselves with Donald Trump. But after these recent racist comments that he has made, it's like, oh, well,
say something.
You're not going to talk about my people like that. Or you're not going to talk about my employees like that. Number two, you're not going to attack anybody on my team. And then number three, this is getting out of hand, and this could be the last straw that they start to feel. And even Rex Ryan, he was a former football coach for the Bills, and he works on ESPN. He even came out this morning and said, yeah, like Donald Trump, he opened up for Donald Trump when he came to Buffalo and said, yeah, during that time, me and Donald Trump were really good friends. I believed in everything he said, but after these recent comments he has made, I feel bad that I supported that guy.
Exactly.
That I opened up the stage, or I opened up that interview or conference for that guy. I supported him, and I feel wrong, and I should not have supported him for that.
Exactly.
So I think it's starting to come to that point where it's like, you're starting to realize that this guy is really, even though he always showed us his true colors, but now he's getting into things or really trying to split America down the middle.
Right down the middle. Definitely. Even with like the whole DACA situation. Now you got, you know, African Americans saying, oh, that don't got nothing to do with us. But just a minute ago, it was all about, oh, we for the black and brown. Now you just for the black. Like, so it's a lot of things that he's doing strategically. Him and his, you know, his whole administration are doing strategically to split a lot of different groups up, because together it's mass destruction. You know what I'm saying? Together, we unify. We can kill a lot of different things. We can stop a lot of different things. We can do a lot of different things. But once we're separate, that's when everything slows down. That's when everything, you know, we got to take our time. We got to put more energy. We got to put more work into it. But if we do it together, that's when it all comes, you know, that's when it all comes together. 360, full circle, definitely. But Keith, we got to jump into a quick commercial. I'm going to go to a quick commercial break. I'm keeping you on the line, Keith. You're not going nowhere today. You're rocking out with us until 1 p.m. You with it?
Oh, yeah. Let's make it happen.
Let's do it. We about to jump into a quick commercial. Right after this quick commercial, we'll be back with What's Buzzing with your boy Keith Taylor from TLS Politics. Make sure you guys follow them on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You know what time it is. It's Meet Your Girl POC.
It's easy to take a day for granted. You and your family are connected by routine, and you stick to it. But what if disaster strikes without warning? What if the life as you know it has completely turned on its head? What if your day's routine is disrupted and you can't reach your family? Have you planned for that? Before disaster turns your family's world upside down, it's up to you to be ready. Get a kit. Make a plan. Be informed. Today, learn how at www.ready.gov, brought to you by the Federal Emergency Management Agency and the Ad Council.
As a little girl, my dream was to be a ballerina. I practiced really hard and was the top ballet dancer in my class. But when funding for the arts was cut from my school, my ballet dreams didn't make the cut. I guess I should be happy that I'm still able to be on stage, even if it is a little different now.
Gentlemen, put your hands together for Daddy's little ballerina, Sapphire.
Just what is it that you want to do?
Well, we want to be free. We want to be free to do what we want to do. And we want to get loaded. And we want to have a good time.
And that's what we're going to do.
Well, wait, baby, let's go.
We're going to have a good time.
About that time. Welcome to Revive. It's about that time. All I need is one mic. You know what time it is. Open up your ears. You know what time it is. Open up your mind. It's about that time. It's your girl POC. Hey. It's your girl POC.
We are back live on timeforanawakening.com/revive. Once again, it's Meet Your Girl POC. I'm coming live each and every Sunday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Make sure you guys stay tuned. Spread the word, spread the word, spread the word that we are live right now on timeforanawakening.com/revive. You can also check us out on TuneIn, download the app, or go directly to the website and just search Time for an Awakening. Hit Meet Your Girl POC. I'm also live with your boy Keith Taylor today, man. Yo, Keith, you still out there with us today?
Of course.
I'm with it. Definitely. Tell the people a little bit more about TLS Politics, man. Let them know where they can find you, your website, your email, all that. Because you guys are making some noise out there. And you guys put out a video each and every day for them to stay, you know, in tune to what's going on in society when it comes to politics, when it comes to sports, everything. You guys got it down jam-packed. So go ahead and tell people a little bit more about TLS Politics.
So as your girl POC said, we're on Facebook and Instagram at TLS Politics. And on Facebook, we do a question of the day, thought-provoking question. It could be on the Kaepernick situation. It can be on North Korea. It can be on our current climate change and the current hurricanes and how that impacts the islands in Puerto Rico. On Instagram, we break down the topic of the day. I kind of give it to you so that you can understand it or you can apply it to your everyday life. And on Twitter, we're on Twitter, too, and we tweet. So that'll be on Twitter, TLS_politics. So if you want to reach out to us, give us some suggestions on questions that we should ask or a topic that we should talk about or further look into, send us an email at theleftside@gmail.com. So that'll be theleftside@gmail.com. So social media heavy, and we're really trying to give the people good factual information.
You gotta get an actual factual, Keith. You can't just be out here saying anything, then you're gonna be looking like Fox News. You know what I'm saying? You'll be looking like another Roger Ailes, Keith. I ain't trying to let you be out here looking like Roger Ailes, Keith.
I know you won't let me, and I'm gonna have to steal that actual factuals.
Yes, you gotta get an actual factuals, man. What you think Roger Ailes doing out here and Bill O'Reilly? What you think they doing nowadays? Roger L is no longer with us. I'm sorry, that just hit me. What do you think Bill O'Reilly is doing nowadays?
He actually has his own podcast. And to be
really, I didn't know that.
Me and somebody had an interesting discussion about this, that it actually benefited Bill O'Reilly technically more that he got fired from Fox, because now, you know, when you're with the news network, they kind of determine what you talk about, what you can't talk about.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta kind of be a little censored in what you say and a little sensitive to your viewers and what goes out. But now, last time I heard, he owned his own podcast station. So now, technically, he's his own boss, and he can go in there and talk about anything he wants. He can be as radical, as conservative, as liberal as he may want to be. And no topic, no discussion, no comment is out of play. So all the things that he wished he could have probably did on Fox News, he now can do on his own podcast or in his own time.
Whoa.
Now, I think, in a sense, if he plays it the right way, he actually benefited from it. He may not make as much money as he was making during Fox News, but he now can have a bigger voice, or his audience may not be as spread out. But now Bill O'Reilly can actually talk about the things that Bill O'Reilly wants to talk about in any tone that Bill O'Reilly wants to talk about it.
Man, that's kind of scary. Honestly, truly, that's kind of scary, because once you got a podcast, you like super international. I know his Fox News was super international, but like a podcast, you can be heen, you can be seen, you can be heard in all different kind of places. You can download it to, you know, iTunes, YouTube, Facebook. It's so many different ways that you can upload your pre-recorded episode of your podcast once you go live, so it can be shared 1,000 times. Versus, you know, him on Fox News, it was just live, so it was one take and he was done, unless, you know, you captured it and they were able to send little clips of it on different, you know, on different YouTube channels. But now you're able to move that piece of audio in so many different ways. So that actually is kind of scary. And then think about this, Keith, too. He still has the same contacts. He still has the same connections. He still has the same people in his pocket. So he can still get, you know, those same people on his podcast to talk, you know, and expand that conversation. So what you just said was definitely something I did not know. What's his podcast called? I didn't know he had a podcast. What's the podcast called?
I have no idea what it's called.
We should know anyway. We shouldn't know. We're not supporting him. We're not about to be one of his viewers. Not at all. We're not about to get him up.
But I was going to say is that I think even like you talked about his context and things like that, I think that they may be more willing to talk to him now. And I'm going to tell you why, because he's not part of the news anymore. He's not part of the media. So, you know, a lot of times people would, you would have these contacts and you would talk to them if you were in politics or whatever you did, but you would talk about a lot of things off the record. Or if there was really some things that were going on, you wouldn't talk to Bill O'Reilly. But now Bill O'Reilly, he isn't part of Fox News anymore. So he's kind of his own independent source. And you may be a little bit more willing to open up, and he can probably get a little bit more deeper. Like, look, I'm not part of Fox News. I'm Bill O'Reilly. This is my show. So you may be a little bit more willing to give a little bit more information or dig a little deeper. So I think that even makes him more dangerous. And the name of his podcast, it's on his website. It's just BillO'Reilly.com, and it's actually on his website.
Oh, you looked it up real quick?
Everything.
So you just go to his website and just push play?
Yep, and then he got a thing on there talking about no spin news, daily briefings, opinions, video, audio, quizzes, message boards. Like, this dude's got his own blog.
Does he have a spam button on there? Is there any way we can spam the website real fast? That's what I'm looking for.
You know,
that's exactly what I'm looking for.
And I think it made him more dangerous. Truthfully, I think he's looking at it like, hey, technically, y'all helped me out. Y'all gave me all these contacts.
And they gave him a check. Don't forget they gave him a check just to leave.
Right. So he got a golden parachute package, what they call in the business field. You get a golden parachute. All right, we're going to fire you. But look, we're going to give you $20 million. You can keep your stock options. You got your money from your 401k. Now you just really don't have to worry about the business. So hey, go live your life.
That's crazy. But Keith, we almost got to wrap up, right? So as we're wrapping up, I do want you to spit real quick some information about Kim Jong-un, about what was going on last week with him and Donald Trump. I do want to educate the people on that a little bit. So can you go ahead and spit a little facts for us about that?
So as we've been seeing over the last couple of months, North Korea has been sending off a series of like missile tests and things like that. And I think it's a way for Kim Jong-un to kind of flex power and to show that, all right, like, we do have the capability and we're building the technology to be able to develop second strike capabilities. Now, in the military, second strike capabilities are if, and this is really big during the Cold War back to Russian times, USSR, that if America launches nuclear weapons first, Russia would then have the option to then send back nuclear weapons. So I believe in what is called nuclear peace. That because now everybody is starting to develop nuclear weapons, you then are less likely to go into war. Now, Kim Jong-un has looked at Egypt and Gaddafi and saw that how he was treated. Now, Gaddafi was Egypt's leader, and he was eventually taken out by his people, right? So Kim Jong-un doesn't want that to happen. They believe Kim Jong-un is a more fair person and that he is a rational mind. So if you can find a way to give Kim Jong-un an out, he may be more than willing to take it. Donald Trump has been threatening Kim Jong-un and North Korea and the sanctions that have been placed upon him, and even threatening China to place more economic sanctions on North Korea to kind of stranglehold them so that then they would be forced to make a decision. And instead of this whole let's flex power and saying that I'm going to blow you off the face of the map, I mean, technically we could due to pure numbers of missiles and ICBMs that we have, but they want to take it to an economical trade resources to kind of cut off North Korea from the world and to make them reach out on their own.
So that's crazy. So are we in trouble, Keith? Just to sum that up, are we in trouble?
I don't think we're in trouble. I think what it is that we have to be strategic about how we move over these next couple of months and even years about our moves and what we do in North Korea and how we respond to North Korea. Now, direct threats to North Korea about what we call or Roosevelt called, we carried a bigger stick, isn't going to work with North Korea because every day, even though their technology is probably still some years away from developing a true nuclear missile that can reach from North Korea to either the West Coast or major cities within America, they are still advancing the technology. And I think outside of ISIS and terrorists and the Taliban, North Korea is our biggest threat towards America. And even when President Obama was briefing Donald Trump on the intricacies and the threats against America, he told him that technically North Korea is our biggest threat. And I know a lot of people were in uproar about the Iran deal, that even when Donald Trump said he was going to get in office, he was going to rip up the Iran deal and it was going to be no longer there.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to really look at how do we play North Korea and how do we put them in a position. Now, the administration said that their policy is the sanction, that we're going to cut off their resources. We're going to cut them off economically. We're going to cut them off trade. We're going to try to make them starve. The problem is now you have to hold on to that. You have to keep that going and even be willing to apply more pressure to get that. But then you also have to be strategic about it because then you could get to the point where you run Kim Jong-un and North Korea to a point so dry that he doesn't care anymore and he can just be willing to act out of any defense mechanism that he feels is needed to protect his country.
This man, but the way these two interact with each other make me nervous. Cause you even hear Elijah, he's 13 and he's like, yo, he's just over here saying anything. Like, we not ready. How does a 13-year-old know that we're not ready? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So if a 13-year-old can say we not ready, picture the people in the White House in the actual administration, the people who's running this thing is probably sweating in their boots right now. Like, can we please tell this man to shut up? Like, this man, Donald Trump, is really on a rant. He's doing things that just are just so eye-opening to us as people, as the, you know, American citizens. Is just so eye-opening to us. And it's just like to know that we can at any second, if any given day, you know, Donald Trump feels like he needs to boss up and go ham on North Korea, like it could really happen. You know what I mean? At first it was like fictional. It was something I'm like, no, it's not going to happen.
Which is the problem, because Donald Trump is so quickly triggered that Kim Jong-un, and if you look at their missile tests, they are all really strategic. And Kim Jong-un knows that Donald Trump's buttons are easily pressed by the slightest comment, by the slightest action.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what this serves our State Department, our intelligence agencies, is that, one, Donald Trump doesn't listen to them. Donald Trump feels he knows all things. He's all-knowing. And that if Kim Jong-un doesn't listen, or that Kim Jong-un does something to provoke Donald Trump on any day, that we might end up in a war. Now, I hope we don't get to that point, but at this moment, you have to start to ask yourselves is, are we domestically preparing for a war? And even in a sense of not a direct military combat fight, because the battlefield has changed. It is still a boots on the ground type of thing. But now warfare has evolved to cybersecurity and infrastructure and IT.
That was a good one.
And how we have so much digital currency, because technically, for a while now, we've been at war. It's just not boots on the ground and fighting. It's been our technology.
China
over the last couple of years have hacked into our thing. I mean, even if you look at, I think it was Equifax who just got hacked.
Yeah, we were just talking about that on Monday.
It turned into cybersecurity and the cyber war. And even I was talking to one of the guys at my job. He was a military person. You can tell what the war is or the battlefield by the people that the military is now recruiting. The military is no longer, I'm not going to say they're no longer. I think they have placed more emphasis on
technology,
STEMs, so science, technology, and math people.
Engineering, yeah, don't forget about that.
Technology, you can make crazy money, but that's what the military is targeting for their people. So then that right there directly shows you that now this war has moved kind of from boots on the ground to our technology as we
you would have
about.
To
and
though
I think that's what a war is.
I was about to say, Keith, you would have to because innovation is crazy. Because let's just think about it, with them doing it in North Korea, they're sending missiles, they're sending drones, you know, which is created by technology as well. So I do agree with you with that one, Keith. That was an excellent point to definitely bring it, you know, to close out the show today, because that's something that a lot of us need to understand, that it's not no longer boots on the ground. It's about information systems, it's about technology, it's about the different ways that we can build drones that can reach 30,000 feet in the air, you know, the engineering portion of it, to make sure that we can build and equip these, you know, these people who are on the ground with the technology that they need. So I definitely agree with you with that. And you got to have the math in there too, to even know how to do the math, air quotes. But yeah, so I right. super agree with you on that one, Keith. But we do have to wrap up today. So go ahead and tell the people once again how they can find you and when you'll be back on Revive, man. And I've been missing you, Keith, man. I've been playing, my bad. I've just been out here working crazy, so I couldn't get to a Sunday show. But just know we're back live each and every Sunday.
So TLS Politics and Revive, we team up the second and fourth Sunday of every month from 12 to 12:35, coming live. You can find TLS Politics on Instagram and Facebook at TLS Politics on Instagram and Facebook. And if you want to catch us on Twitter, it's TLS Politics _. If you want to send us an email, it's at theleftside@gmail.com. TheLeftside @gmail.com. On Facebook, we do a question of the day Monday through Friday, thought-provoking, intriguing. And on Instagram, we break down a hot political topic in which we try to give you actual factuals.
I love
as
it.
My girl POC would call it. So check us out, Instagram, Facebook, TLS Politics, and on Twitter, TLS Politics _.
Yes, 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 Keith. Thank you for this dynamic duo, man. We're going to bring it to them each and every time we get on these airwaves together, man. I love the gems that you always bring, and I love the fact that you come with a wealth of knowledge each and every time. We'll be back on Revive with you, not this weekend, but next week, right?
'Cause weeks from now.
2 weeks from now. All right, bet. We in there, Keith. Thank you once again for always holding it down.
No problem.
All right. Yo, I also wish you have a blessed week too, Keith. But definitely, we about to wrap up this show right now here on Revive. Thank you for everyone who tuned in listening to us for the Sunday edition of Revive. Once again, each and every Sunday, we go live from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. We had a jam-packed studio today. We had Young Millie. We had Emilio. We had Elijah coming on. We had Tab Money. We have Harmony the Goddess. And we got Talia Venia. Before we wrap up, you know I'm going to get him a chance to get himself a shout-out, because guess what? Tomorrow, we on DG Radio, ladies. We are on DG Radio. We back-to-back-to-back-to-back. No naps. Tyler over here stretching, trying to get it right. Nah, man, we got another day. No naps. 24 a.m. to the p.m.
What POC just said, it is about to get real. But no, thank you all for listening today. But don't forget to catch me tomorrow on DG Radio at 8:30 for What the Fact, because what you don't know, you will know. And if you do know, you will know more. You can never have enough knowledge. So just listen in, please. We're going to have the whole team giving perspective on different things. And remember to call in. I'm about to give it over to Harmony the Goddess. Thank you for listening again, and catch me on Instagram at Tyler E. Vigna.
Definitely. You can definitely check me out on Instagram, Harmony the Goddess, and also Facebook, Harmony the Goddess. On Twitter, I am With Love Harmony, and that is With Love Harmony on Twitter. So make sure you all are living in peace, not pieces, and definitely stay tuned to DG Radio with Revive on Monday starting at 8 p.m.
Yes, 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 man. Also, I just want to say thank you to everyone out there who's supporting this Revive platform and helping us keep it alive, dog. I just want to appreciate you guys, because without you, we'll be nothing. So I just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you. You guys keep me humble each and every day, man, because you guys are supporting. It's amazing to see the amount of support that we do have. So I just want to say thank you, and definitely thank you for everyone who came out there and copped that Revive gear last night, man. Keep that Revive gear going. Make sure you tell them where they can cop some more Revive gear if they want some too. We got some for all kinds of ages, the babies, the mamas, the sisters, broke other cousins, all of them, you know what I'm saying? So definitely support this Revive platform, because we're trying to keep it alive. Yep, you know what time it is. I'm gonna be back on these airways on Wednesday, but I'm coming live on DG tomorrow starting at 8 p.m. You know what time it is. It's me, your girl POC. We